Namaskaram everyone and welcome back to the second part of the episode with Narayanana. In this podcast, we go a little bit more into the mystical dimensions of who Sadhguru is, what can the presence of Devi do for you, how as men we can embrace our feminine side, and a little more subtler aspects. I hope you enjoy this, and especially if you're guys, please do listen to this. And without further ado, let's get into the podcast. Namaskaram everyone and welcome back to the part 2 of the podcast with Narayanana. Namaskaram Anna and welcome back.
Namaskaram.
So like we promised in the last episode, let's go with the review of Fastex. And how come you have a new look? It looks like we have a new guest on the show.
So Anna, this is after effect of Fastex, I guess, because I've always been in awe of the work that Jason Momoa does, be it Aquaman or be it Fast and Furious, whatever movies he has done till date. I think the impact that he brings to the story, it is always in a different level. And in Fast and Furious series, I think till date, we have never seen a villain who is wicked in nature, who likes to tease around the hero, you know.
Yeah.
Or a group of bunch of people who are also in the same lines of stealing cars, stealing DVDs in the first series. And then comes a person who likes to tease that attitude of people and, you know, always likes to challenge them. So I think the next part... Oh, sorry for people who haven't seen it.
No. So everyone will know.
But I think everyone will be looking forward for the next part to come in, because the way it has ended and left things in a surprise. A lot of surprises have been revealed in the end. If people got out of the theater without watching the credits, they should.
Yeah, I didn't realize it will be a two-part movie. So when I was watching, I'm like, this is not going so fast. Usually fast, but by the end, you know, Vin Diesel makes even the villain his family, they become brothers. I'm like, why is it not happening with Jason Momoa? So I didn't realize it is going to be a part
I was more surprised because I never expected Fast and Furious series will come out something like post-credit movie review for next part to come in like Marvel movies do.
Yeah.
For Marvel movies, you always wait after the credits are over so that you know what is going to happen. But this was a surprise. I mean, so I think lot of things are in store for the next part.
Yes, awesome, Anna. So Anna, back into the podcast. So what are some things that, where did we end the last podcast actually? Where did we end it?
So we ended the last podcast with... I think the Chawl system in Bombay.
Yeah, that was in the beginning, right?
We covered it towards the middle also. I think larger part of how things started, how things were in the childhood.
Yes.
Later on, how Sadhguru entered, how things with Isha started, then full-time volunteering. I think more or less we covered bits and pieces of each segment.
Yeah.
I think a couple of things to touch base. There are few areas which requires an extra, extra deep dive into to know that, you know, at least in my case, I don't want to generalize for others, but at least in my case, I saw that patience is always the key. So based on that, I think a couple of things to touch upon. With your permission, I'll...
Yes, Anna, definitely.
I don't know where to start. It has always been random.
Can we start with recently a video of the Rudraksh Diksha came out. So one thing, you know, I also, you know, share it. I've stood for volunteering at the nearby temple so that people can have access to Rudraksh Diksha. So, to that Rudraksh that Sadhguru consecrates. So I know there are, I think, millions of Rudraksh. From the video, I realized the amount of work that goes into it. But still, you know, a few people don't receive it and they feel a bit sad that they're not receiving. So, but could you tell us a little bit more about the kind of logistics that happens there? And I personally feel there are very few people who don't receive it. So, but
I will not be able to touch base too much because not all the information, you know, you can share it. But there are certain important aspects. I think if this video is reaching out to a lot of people, at least this aspect they can take care when they are registering for next year. So, like you said, Anna, in the last, this is the third year we are doing it. And last 2 years, it's been fortunate enough that I got to be a part of the entire process. And it's really great feeling to share that in the last 3 years, we will end up distributing close to 7 million Rudrakshas plus.
Wow. That's like
close to 7 million Rudrakshas.
It's all over the world, right? Or only India?
It's all over the world. And the 7 million is only for the first 2 years. This year, if I include, it will cross more than a crore, which we've been managing to distribute in the last 3 years. So, Anna, like you touched upon people not receiving now, what happens is for us, the base area on which we work is what people type while registering. There is very less room for, you know, when you're handling so many registrations, close to 20, 30 lakh of registrations coming in, when you're handling and working around that data, there is very, very less room for us or time limit for us to keep checking each and every address field, whether people are given it right or wrong.
Right.
You know, because when you, if you get into that activity, the entire activity of dispatch is going to go for a toss. And sending out 20 lakhs, 25 lakh packets is not a joke. It takes months of effort. I mean, people who have seen the videos, they have just seen a gist of how much work is going on. But that gist is captured for over a period of 5 months of work. So it is very important that if you have made up your mind that you want to receive the Rudraksha, then there is extra care that you need to take that. You tell, it's simple, Anna, when you order a Bluetooth speaker in Amazon, you fill up the address correctly and you keep checking, no, whether order is dispatched, out for delivery. Out for delivery will reach before 9 p.m. So you start calling the agent who is going to deliver. What time are you coming? I'm going to go out in few hours. This much of work you do to receive your Bluetooth speaker. Then why not in case of Rudraksha, be careful.
Does a lot of error happen? Like people do not fill a lot of...
It's not about they do not. The thing is, the amount of effort taken for any other thing that you order. And I mean, I really want to ask for apology from people who are watching this part, what I'm going to talk now. It is not to hurt anybody's sentiment. But in general, naturally, what we are seeing, you know, that address fields are not up to the mark the way it should be. I mean, it gives us tremendous pain to us also that, you know, when someone comes back and tells that I have not received the Rudraksha, it pains that how come it's possible that, you know, this person has not got it. Okay, let's try and do whatever best possible we can. So that much of effort is taken, but then when you know there are only four lines to everyone's address, you have to give your flat number so that it reaches you. You have to give your building name. You have to give the lane which is there. If there is an option to show a landmark, you show the landmark. Write the correct pin code. Why to hurry? End of the day, you wait for so much time. You see Sadhguru consecrating the Rudraksha during Mahashivratri on the dais. And it is announced during Mahashivratri that post-Shivratri, you all will start receiving your Rudraksha. You build that happiness within you. You are elated to a next level that you are going to receive it. But when the time comes to send it to you, we find that your address is not correct. It's humanly impossible that you reach out to so many people. During the process of sending those 25 lakh project packets, in between you call up someone and say, I don't see your address correct. Can you send it to me on WhatsApp?
Right.
No, that's not possible. And if that is the expectation of people, I don't know what to say. So while filling the address itself, first time itself, if it is filled correctly, it makes the process simpler for everyone. And who wouldn't be happy to know that 100% of registrations have received their Rudrakshas this year?
Yeah.
So now all that requires is correct address filling. All the fields are given. Just fill it up correctly.
Yeah, definitely. That is the least that all of us who are...
That is the least. Not, I mean, it's yeah. not even an expectation. It's a request.
Yeah, it's a requirement to get the Rudraksha.
Yeah.
Basic
so I requirement. Think if that is done, rest of the part is smooth flow now. Once we know where to send it, definitely it will be sent.
Awesome. So, would you be willing to share that incident that happened with Sadhguru when you were offering Vilva leaves to him, or do you want to? Is that all? Should we keep it to the end of the podcast or not at all?
Yes, Anna, sure. That's an interesting incident, as well as it's for me, it was a bit of scary incident also, because we always, like I told, we've heard stories from our grandmother about temples, importance of temples, if you pray, good things will happen. If you always think good for others, good things will happen to you also. All these are virtues of human being, which we have heard. So, Anna, what happened is after coming full time and getting an opportunity to try to regularly visit the ashrams, you also come across some old timers, who have spent like 15 years, 20 years in the ashram, and they have been at the beginning time of the ashram where things were just starting off, and there are certain things they have seen. They have experienced. When they share it with you, somewhere you feel little scared also, somewhere you feel in awe also that, oh, such a thing happened. But these things are like, it's kind of, if you're stuck in that thought and if you're stuck in that moment, what they said, no, then even if the opportunity comes for you to experience it, you may miss it because you're still there only thinking that, oh, this happened, I can also experience it. So all this was kind of fairy tale to me. I heard it, everything, and came. But this year, 2023, Mahashivratri, what happened and what I experienced was something way more than, I don't think me describing in words also will really bring out the essence of what I saw that night. I'm only describing. So it's like you read a book, you can only pick up what is there. But being in that situation and experiencing, I think everybody will have an opportunity and everybody should experience it. So Sadhguru comes to the dais to consecrate the Rudrakshas. And every year there are brahmacharis who are assigned the task to take the Vilva basket to Sadhguru. And he normally picks up the Vilvas and he puts it over the Rudraksha. For a moment, there was a 2-minute pause in between which I could take as a small break just to watch whether, we need to hand over extra Vilvas or no. During that time, what I saw, Anna, even if I talk about it now, I'm still in a scary situation right now because what I saw, I couldn't believe. I see... I see Sadhguru dropping the Vilvas over the Rudraksha. Okay, so... Since we are near the Yogeshwara Linga, we get to see from backside. So, from the time I see the amount of Vilva Sadhguru is picking up, to when I see what is falling down over the Rudrakshas, I still feel and I hope it was a dream what I saw. Anna, how would you feel if I say that I saw the Vilva leaves multiply in numbers when it were falling over the Rudrakshas?
if it was anyone other than Sadhguru, I would be like, no, it's just a... But with Sadhguru, there is no nothing. There's no limit to what he can do. In my personal experience, is what that's the only thing I. Yeah, it's.
I'm not, to be honest, I am right now choking and suffocating. I cannot narrate the incident. I am in that state right now. But when I was watching it, I froze. My body literally froze, and I'm just watching. That, you know, it's falling out of his hands. And you see them multiply in numbers. It's like, for people to easily understand, it's like if he's dropping two, I'm seeing four falling. I don't know, after I saw this incident, I don't know what it was. But I always, you know, when such incidents happen, especially when you are in the era when you have a live guru who can guide you. When I say guide you, he need not directly come and guide one to one. You know, we need to understand that when you say you are on the path is the guru is the path. There is no difference between both. Like I said in the previous podcast, when I came down after 7th hill, I couldn't go to Dhyanalinga, but I saw Sadhguru in front of me. And now these incidents, you know, when initially when it happens, you feel, I mean, you should not, but you are a human, you can't do anything, you can't help yourself, but you feel it's a coincidence. But then when these things repeatedly happen in front of you and in your experience, that's when you realize and understand that what grace can do. This was one situation on the night, but the same day, one more incident happened. So I'm sitting near the Nalanda grounds. And just waiting for a couple of people to come so that we all can go to the venue and see what needs to be done. So, because around afternoon, once, you know, all the arrangements are made, is when you open up the Rudrakshas and, you know, put it for view for the people sitting there. You open it up. Till then, it is covered always. Till the day of Shivratri. So I'm sitting near Nalanda grounds and suddenly a voice comes in my head and it tells that go and meet the Swami. I don't want to take names.
Right.
First time it happened, I'm like, okay, forget it. Something is going on. I'm thinking something. Two times, three times. Continuously till the time I got up from that place, that voice is coming, go and meet Swami, go and meet Swami, go and meet Swami. And I am hearing Sadhguru's voice. Okay. I get up, I go to the Swami, he is on a call, and the moment he drops the call, he looks at me and he says, I don't know, I am in a situation, how am I supposed to help myself? Even I didn't know that he is in a situation. I just went there because I heard the voice. And then he says that, you know, some guests are coming. I'm caught up in between something, but food needs to be arranged for the guests. I don't know what to do. I said, do you have a vessel or something? He hands me over the vessel. I go to Nalanda grounds. And food is still being served at 2 p.m. over there.
Right.
I go to Anakka. She says, Anna, almost everything over. What should I give? I can only give you little bit of millets and sambar. I said, feeding someone, we need not think what is there. You just give what is there, enough. And you won't believe, from behind, one entire big bowl of rice comes.
Okay.
One big bowl of some vegetable comes. Salad comes. Some other sambar comes. Everything is arriving. When this akka is told, everything is over. from nowhere, the last lot comes to Nalanda grounds, which nobody is aware that last lot is coming of food. I fill up the 4 containers. I go hand it over to Swami. And I say, this is there. Is that enough? He said, more than sufficient. Thank you. Anna, you can proceed. Right. That's all. No conversation. Why did you come? Did you have any work with me? No. This incident was only that much that I need to go there, help him to get food for those guests and come back. First, I did not think much about this. But after the night incident which happened with the Vilvas, made me strongly think about what all happened through the day. And there is no reason to question why.
Right.
It's happened. That's all. I did not narrate this incident to anyone, Anna.
Thank you for sharing it with us, Anna. Thank you.
No, reason being, Anna, like, you know, I always feel that you as a person feel that people with whom you interact, they should also think positively and be aware of the fact that when you are open to grace or you surrender yourself to the Guru without even having a single thought in your mind, whatever the Guru has to do, he will do. There is absolutely no intention somewhere that I need to raise someone's expectation that, oh, this Anna experienced all this, we should also experience. No, that will take them into a different platform. If that doesn't happen, they will start doubting the process, which is a separate aspect we should never get into, because it has taken Sadhguru 3 lifetimes to, you know, offer what he is offering today to humanity. So that is something we should not do. But the idea is to tell people that, yes, so many things are there. I'll share a beautiful story of surrendering to the Guru, but this is associated with Sadhguru Sri Brahma.
Okay, please listen.
I'm deviating from the from what we are talking, but I wanted to tell this. So there is a beautiful story which is narrated where Sadhguru Sri Brahma is sitting under a tree. He just closed his eyes and is sitting. Some main village head or somebody comes there and starts asking him questions. That, you know, do you feel you are great? You can do things. People say that you are doing this, you are doing that. You know, the idea of that person was not to doubt him, but he ended up asking questions. Display me what you can do. And Guruvel Swami was close to Sadhguru Sri Brahma that time. At that moment, he was close by sitting next to Guruvel. Guruvel Swami is the disciple of Sadhguru Sri Brahma who carry forward his work beyond. For all the places, establishment of all the ashrams at different places, all those work, Guruvel Swami was involved. So Sadhguru Sri Brahma looks at Guruvel Swami and he's like, hey, go up that tree. Because we all have been told that that's how he used to speak. He used to be a very fiery yogi, so he never used to be polite or anything. It's not that he's rude, but that's how he is. He's always on fire, even today. So he just tells Guruvel Swami to climb up the tree. Guruvel Swami climbs up to the top of the branch. He says, ah, now jump. Guruvel Swami doesn't think anything. He just jumps. But only thing he does after jumping is, Sadguru Nata. The next moment, Guruvel Swami is lying in the lap of Sadguru Sri Brahma. The tree is 10 feet away. He is lying in the lap of Sadguru Sri Brahma. People will question how. But this is the beauty of Guru Shishya Parampara, where you don't doubt, you don't ask a single question. Because the Guru knows why he is telling you to jump. You need not know why you are jumping. You just need to follow the orders. If he is making you do a task, means something related to that task has to happen, he will ensure that. But if we start thinking about the output, then nothing will happen.
It is an idea, no? Like when you said the guru is the path is the guru. For someone who doesn't have a guru, maybe they are listening to this. Maybe they're coming from a Western outlook towards life. For them, it means slavery. But this is very different from what that is, right? How can we say
slavery,
that?
Slavery and surrender are usually the most confused terminologies.
Right.
When we say slavery, whatever you do or you follow the instructions, you suffer the outcome. When you surrender to a person, and if you surrender to a guru on a spiritual path, it is not, the outcome is not suffering. The process may be suffering, because without hardship you can't get anything. Anna, people are slogging 18-20 hours a day in the IT sector. Even after working for so much of hours, end of the month or end of the year during appraisal, they'll say, these are, you just met expectations. These are basic. What else did you do to, you know, exceed expectations for getting a high pay rise? Now that is slavery. I'm sorry. I quit my job. Not that I have any intentions to harm anyone, but to explain the notion, that is slavery. But here we work more than what we used to. At least I feel that I'm spending more time in the activities I'm doing now than I used to earlier when I used to be a part of corporate. There I used to at least work 5 days a week and 2 days I used to get off. No, here there is no concept of Saturday, Sunday for me. 24/7, 365 days a year, you are on. Still at the end of the day, morning when you get up and you go to your respective workplace or activity or ashram for any activity, you still smile. When you come back in the evening, you still smile. You are ready for more in the day. So you cannot call this slavery, no? This is surrendering. This is devotion towards the guru. And Anna, people need not wait till the time they need to find a guru. You make yourself a good human being where you respect and keep the life of other people in front of you above yours. There'll be no time that, you know, there'll be someone appearing in front of you as a guru. Because you have broken the bondage, which is the biggest problem today. You know, that fear is there in people's mind that what will happen if I do something which is not considered common in the society. So quitting a job and embarking into a spiritual path in 21st century is not considered as a common job. People still question, and you will see that suddenly you are surrounded by saints who have the biggest knowledge of life virtue to distribute to you at the time when you say, I'm quitting and going on spiritual path. I don't know where this knowledge was when they saw you suffering in the office. So these things don't help. I don't know if I am able to address the point you asked.
This is what
is in my experience and what I can understand as a normal human being.
So how can one cultivate devotion? This is an aspect a lot of people struggle with, whether it's towards sadhana or whether it's towards the guru. How does one bring it little by little? What is an actionable step? Or there is no actionable step. It is something that happens.
Now, in my experience, if you ask, if you want to bring about devotion to something or someone, devotion need not be only towards a live being. It can be towards a non-living being also. If you hold that thing or that being more important than whatever is important to you in life, I think the devotion has come. Respect. You know, if you today, if we see a small piece of you know, something is lying on the ground, or you have to pass something to someone, you're lazy enough, you just push it with your leg or hand, or you just throw it to the other person, okay, catch. So that's all is the amount of respect you hold towards that thing. But there are people, if you see them lightest, you know, you go and try to touch the tree which they have cultivated, or any other thing. For example, people have so much affection towards their bikes.
Yes.
If in the biking world, if you see,
yeah,
people have so much affection towards their bike, they look at it as other person in the house. They clean it regularly, they keep it tip top so that every time you start, it starts. And the bike is their companion. They have become one with the bike. They can go on long rides, solo rides. They don't need anyone around. They can go with their bike. Why? Because that is the kind of bonding you have created with your bike. Similarly, in case of devotion also, you don't expect anything in return from that thing or that person. This much is enough. You don't expect anything in return. Still, you you know, respect that person. Still, you bow down to that person or thing whenever you see it. Loving that person or loving that thing, that you show something which is more than you. That person or that thing means to you more than anything else. When that bonding with that thing comes, that's when the devotion starts.
Awesome, Anna. Thank you. I think that definitely answers the question. So, I think we can talk a little bit about Devi, if that's... How do we start with Devi?
how do we start with... Devi entering my life also, it was something unexpected. The first time I came in contact with Devi was during 2018 Lap of the Master, which happened in the ashram here in Coimbatore.
So, I was there at that time. The Lap of the...
Okay. Yeah. We didn't know each other that time.
Yeah, yes.
So, day two, when they had given a break in the morning. So we were, me and a couple of annas from Bombay, we were just, you know, taking a stroll around the ashram, and we were just walking from Pepperwine towards the Adiyogi Alayam for the next session. And there were 15-20 minutes left. So one anna said, let's go to Devi temple and come. And till this time, anna, this is 2018. Devi was consecrated in 2010. Till this time, in 8 years, I have never gone to that side where Devi temple is there.
Okay.
This is like the first entry for me inside the ashram after the Surya Kund is built, after Chandra Kund and Surya Kund have been separated, after the entire round you take. You go to Devi temple, then you go towards Dhyanalinga from backside, and then you come out. This entire thing, all this were happening when I was in Bombay. And during those years, I never visited the ashram. So, I went to Devi temple. I looked at her, and the annas who were with me, they are just sitting there, close their eyes, and tears are flowing. And I am not understanding anything. till that period, I think I was the questionable kind of a person. That why? You know, you attend certain sessions with Sadhguru, you can hear screams. Why people have to scream? Why can't they let me concentrate? No, all these things, all these questions used to keep coming during those days. Initial period, no. You don't understand anything. Even today, I don't understand anything, but at least I have left alone that part that, okay, let them be the way they are. I am the way I am.
I remember when I came for the lap of the month 2018, Sadhguru said close your eyes. Suddenly this thing, I'm like, what is happening? That was the first experience for me also.
Especially during the infinity meditation.
Yeah.
So, these both Annas are sitting and tears are flowing through their eyes, and I hear this constant chant going on in the temple. Not the Devi Stuti, but Lammam.
Okay.
And something intrigued. When the chant was on, Sadhguru's voice was there. Something intrigued, but I never paid attention. And I didn't know of the process in Devi temple, what you have to do, that you have to go down, take the aarti, come up, take kumkum, do Devi dandam, sit there for some time. All these processes I was unaware of. And then it was time for us for the next session any which way. So these Annas got up and I also walked back with them. After that, nothing. No discussion much. Came back home. And 2019, this particular incident happened. So I was supposed to come to the ashram for Guru Puja training in December 2019. And a week before that, my wife tells me, you know, that her boss wants to talk to me. And I said, okay. So I spoke to the client. She told that, are you going to be going to the ashram anytime soon? I said, yes, I'm traveling next week. So she said that, okay, do me a small help. I have a Linga Bhairavi gudi at home. But the linga is a little bit distorted in its placement. I need to get it repaired. So check in the ashram if this can be repaired. Or else let me know what needs to be done. We'll see. We'll take it from there. Unknowing that this is going to be the beginning of Devi entering my life, I also said, okay, happily wrapped her up nicely. And just to tell Anna, this gudi was very special because this gudi was personally handed over to that Akka by Sadhguru. Oh. 11 years before 2019. So it was very special.
Yeah.
I didn't know all these things are going to happen. I nicely wrap her up, I bring her home, and she has stayed at my place for 3 days. Less knowing that she has already come and found a place and she is going to stay there forever.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Never thought. Yeah. I mean, this I came to know later. But
okay.
Like I said, she was there for 3 days before, because I had 3-4 days before I left for the ashram. Never in my wildest dream I thought that she was here for good. So I come back to the ashram. Then as it is, I went to the temple production, I showed them the gudi. They said it will be repaired, no problem. It is very much repairable. To come back in 4 days. I said, yeah, good enough, because my training also ends in 4 days. I can come back and collect when I'm going back. And this afternoon, 2 o'clock, I'm supposed to check in for Guru Puja training. So phone, everything we have to give away. And before going for the check-in, I meet one Anna from Geneva. So he was one of the volunteers when I was doing BSP. So I bump into him and I'm like, how are you? How are things and everything? And he's like, good, good, good. What are you doing? I said, I'm just coming back from Devi temple. And he's like, wow. So did you attend the 1240 aarti? I said, yes, I had gone for that. So he's like, beautiful, beautiful. What brings you here? So I told, I'm here for Guru Puja training. But this gudi I had to give for repair. And we went to outside Mundrambere to have ice cream. Before the session starts, we thought we'll take the last ice cream for 4 days. Nothing you will get to eat. So we went and while having ice cream, we are chatting, and that's when he touched upon a very, very important point, but very subtle. He just said this statement, Anna, I think she's ready to come back home with you. And I did not understand, who is she?
Okay.
I did not understand who is she. He's like, Anna, Devi is ready to come back home. You need to take her home. Because these are the signs. Otherwise, it always happens with people like this. She just comes. It's not that you prepare and you plan that you will bring her. No, if she'll come, if she has to come. And I still did not understand. I said, okay, we'll see. And then he explained me about this beautiful process which is there. So there are two ways you can have a Devi goodie. One is you purchase it straight from the Isha Life Shopee and you take it home. Second way is you take Devi from Linga Bhairavi store temple. And they keep the Devi Gudi in front of Linga Bhairavi, lighting the Gudi lamp. The Bairagini Ma does a aarti to it. They keep it there. They do a beautiful process and then they hand her over to you. So he said, if at all you have in mind to take her home, which you will do for sure at the end of Guru Puja, but if you're planning to do, please do that process and take her. Don't just take her home. I said, okay, we'll see. And then Guru Puja ended. I go to the temple to take the gudi which I brought along with me, the Akka's gudi which I had to take it back. And I'm standing in the temple area. They said it will take 15 minutes, Anna, just wait. The person who has to write the bill and everything is gone for brunch or something. She'll come and she'll give it to you. And Anna, that 15 minutes was the time that required for me to bring Devi home. I just told Akka that, okay, is a goodie available? I would like to take it. So they immediately, and the person handling the sales was some other person. So by the time I finished, I don't want to use the word purchase, but by the time I finished the process of bringing Devi home, the Akka who has to write the bill for the repair, she comes back. This side, the process is over and she appears. Okay, Anna, your goodie is ready. You can take it back. I bring her home to Bombay, and things slowly, start changing. And this is the first time ever I felt the presence of Devi in my house in a live form. And the life form is nobody but my wife. I strongly felt the presence of Devi in her. So on 31st December, I did a process with her. I'll share the photo with you, Anna. Okay. If I don't know if it is possible to put that photo.
I'll put it. Yes, I'll put it.
I did that process. After that, things have been going as usual. Then came the point where we shifted to Coimbatore because I wanted to get into full-time volunteering. So we moved to Coimbatore, and this is where during 2022 Shivratri, 2022 Shivratri, I saw the Devi procession coming to Mahashivratri in the main dais. And the entire aura of that place changed when the sadhakas were bringing Devi. And I saw her enter right from the beginning till she walked onto the dais, the way they are going and how these people are, in what state they are. And seeing that, something, you know, started going in my head that I need to be part of this procession. But as it is, you decide, it is definitely not going to happen. It will happen only, it will happen only if she wants it to happen. So then, been such a process of 2022 is when I met one Anna, and I was discussing with him. That's when he told that if you want to be a part of Devi procession during Shivratri, at least you need to be a part of the Devi procession for monthly Purnamis.
Oh, okay.
So every month during Purnami in the ashram, Devi procession happens from Devi temple to Dhyanalinga and back. This is every month. So he said, unless you be a part of monthly processions, you cannot be a part of the larger team for Mahashivratri, because there are a lot of things, Anna. You have, there are activities like you have to carry a flag, or you have to carry Devi, or you have to carry that fire stand. And all these elements are not light. They are very much heavy. And to ensure that everything goes in a smooth flow, you need to be trained for it. You need to do it for a longer period of time so that you get accustomed to whatever you are doing. And in between training, they can see if you can take up some other thing and somebody can replace you. All these things happen because you don't know on the D-Day who is coming, who is not coming, what suddenly happened if you want to change positions. So, it was necessary. So, then I tried to get in touch with people who can at least tell me whom should I talk to if I want to be a part of monthly processions, and got in touch with one Anna. He said, you come for the first, we'll see. Normally, the first will call you to observe. Looking at my build, now it is reduced a little. Looking at the way I was, they assigned me a task to carry something. They said, Anna, can you carry? This will be like 30, 40 kilos in weight. Oh. I said, yeah, I'll see. I'll manage somehow. We'll see. So, Devi procession starts, monthly procession I start going to. And there was this one procession, Anna, where there was Naga Pratishtha also happening in Bangalore.
Okay.
October 9th procession was the time when most of the people from ashram had gone to Bangalore to attend Naga Pratishtha.
Okay.
Consecration. Naga consecration. So that time, very few people were there in the ashram.
Huh.
And I must say that all these years of bowing down to her and telling that, you know, I'm surrendering to you. You do whatever you want, but just keep me with you. Bowing down, all this came true that night.
Hmm.
That was the only Purnami where I got an opportunity to lift Devi Murthy in the procession. And that experience is unexplainable, because after procession happens and you come and you change, even after that, you will feel as if 40,000 watts of current is running in your body, because your body is shaking all the time. That is the energy that is there in even in the Utsav Murthy.
Mm-hmm.
That is the energy that she beholds. When you're lifting the Utsav Murthy, people seeing will see only you as lifting the Utsav Murthy. You're actually not lifting the Utsav Murthy. Devi has decided to sit on your shoulders.
Right.
She is passing that responsibility to you. So that moment, what you do, the commitment is more than your life over there. And you can feel. So that's the responsibility that you carry. And when you are a part of that procession itself, not necessary, Anna, you have to carry Devi. Trust me. When you're part of that procession itself, you, something different happens to you. If you just go with the flow, letting her enter you, she will pierce through you. Devi is not someone who will nicely, oh, beta, come, caress. No, no, no. You allow her to enter means you are ready to demolish yourself completely. And all this happens as a process. It is not step by step, step by step. No, it will all happen at one go. The peeling off, tearing off, ripping you apart, all this will happen in that one instance. If you allow it to happen. And Anna, if you don't nurture Devi, she will silently walk away. This is something very important people listening should know. When you are in front of her, there is no games. At least, even if slightest of that idea is there that, you know, I am having this problem, but okay, they will take care. I'll drop it to her. No, no, no. Don't go with that thought. She is not the one to deal with your problems. She is there to liberate you. Show you the reality of picture of who you are. And she will whack you. She will keep whacking you all the time. But that whack is the blessing. If you are prepared to take it, I am telling you, it's a beautiful mother and child relationship with the Devi. She can nurture you like you have never got that care till date. But if you don't know to nurture that relationship, if you don't know to nurture that worship of Devi, she will silently walk away. You will not even realize. But an existence of someone in the form of Devi is not someone whom you would like to allow her to walk away. Because that walking away is in the form of anger. Although it's a silent walk away, it's in the form of anger. You need to be prepared what comes after that to face it. So it's better not to test all this. So, Devi, yes, it's something different. I don't know. I think if you try to explain it in so many words also, it's difficult. I'm sure you would know. You yourself are a Devi devotee. You use a red iPhone, right?
Yes, Anna.
I know the reason why you bought it red also. I saw that episode.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure you must be knowing what I'm telling.
Yes, sir. But it still is, you know, it. For me, Devi is someone, it's like a mother, but at the same time, coming from you, it helps me to understand how to be with Devi a little bit more, you know. Because sometimes I might go, and it was a good insight for me. You know, Devi is not someone that you go with your problems and just, you know, solve this for me, solve that for me. So, thank you for, you know, sharing that. It allows me to be with Devi a little bit more deeper, even if there are issues, even if there are not issues, you know. Devi is someone I just
need to be with. Yes, because that bonding is such, no, when you are in deep connection with her, no. She knows what is happening with you. She will take care of it. I'm not saying that she has to take care or she will, but it is taken care. It is taken care. You just have to allow her to flow. It's taken care. I'll tell you an incident which happened at my house. So when we shifted during COVID period. Okay. So one of the rooms of the house where we are staying now always used to be empty because not too much of unpacking and everything was happened. And this is, I'm telling of 2021 when still presence of COVID was there. Although people were going out with mask, you know, 50% crowd was allowed, all that. Slowly the opening part of COVID, you know, post-COVID started happening. So I got this opportunity to set up a proper sadhana room in this house.
Oh.
It's non-existent right now because all the unpacking, everything happened. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's converted into a proper room now. But that was a time when, you know, we were not regular visitors to this house because still minor pockets of COVID was there here and there. So me and my wife decided to stay with my in-laws only because they were also recovering and, you know, there were necessities required. So we didn't want everybody to step out. So I was the one who took care of the outside jobs and people at home took care of the inside jobs. So that's how we distributed. So this house was most of the time vacant. So I got this liberty of setting up the place. Mm. And every day morning, at least I will ensure that I come home. I light a lamp, sit for some time and then go back to my in-law's house. So like this particular process was done diligently every day for a long time. I don't even know how much time, but diligently it was done. During Navratris, I used to make it a point to, you know, bring flowers and decorate the place, put flowers every day, you know, try to bring different flowers, decorate Devi area, all that. And this is when one Anna from Ashram was leaving back to his home because he had to renew his visa. He was here for long term, but he had to go back home to renew his visa. And before going back, I told him, let's catch up. And he came home once. And so we were just sitting and talking. And that's when he heard this. I don't know if you're able to hear the Yogeshwara chant now.
Yes, yes, I am. Yeah.
So he heard this chant coming out of the room and he said, where is this chant coming from? I said, it's coming from the room that is right in front of you. And this is in his experience, I don't know. But he told me that ever since he stepped inside the house, he's feeling some kind of energy which is pulling him. He said, can we go and sit? I said, yes, there is Devi Gudi. You can sit very much. And when I said Devi Gudi is there, his eyes were like, that love I could see.
Yeah.
It came out. And we came in, we did a little bit of chant and we were sitting there. And after I came out is when he told that he could actually feel a vibration energy inside that room. And incidentally, after a few days, I happened to see one of the videos of Sadhguru where he speaks that how you can consecrate places or how you can keep a space energized.
Right.
You know, if you take care of that space and you keep nurturing and doing the thing every day repeatedly without leaving, it kind of builds an aura in that space. And slowly that energy can be felt and it is beneficial not only for the person doing it, but the people who come into the house or people who, right, with whom that energy presence, you know, comes into existence. So, yes, these are some of the incidences, you know, how Devi and my bonding went for a long time. And even now, I don't know, at least this lifetime, it will continue. Even if there is something after this, I don't know. But this lifetime, it is going to continue. And the bonding with Devi, actually, this part, I wanted to bring it out that it had an impact in my physical appearance also.
Okay.
So after close association with Devi, which was going on, there this aspect of feminine, which was somewhere hidden inside, started coming out. Liking for colors, right, for example.
Right.
I'm telling you, I have not met anyone who maintains 9 different colors for 9 different days of Navratri.
Oh, is it? You have 9 different colors?
Nine different kurtas for 9 different days color of Navratri.
Okay, man. Now this is something you have to strive for. Anna says there's no one with that.
I don't know. At least I have not come across someone who wears a particular, like a lady dresses up during Navratri. No.
Yes.
In offices, you can see all your colleagues, wearing different colors. They plan on tomorrow is blue, remember.
Like that,
I used to plan with people in my office and I used to wear those kurta colors.
Yeah.
And people have asked me this question, ladki hai kya? Are you a girl? I said, I am not a girl, but the feminine is there in me.
Right.
It is there in every person.
True, true.
So this aspect came out after the association with Devi. This was something I didn't know. Then second was hair growth. Never was it a planned move for me. After quitting my job, it was growing. I never paid attention to it. But when this bonding thing with Devi started growing strong, I started caring and nurturing my hair. Oiling it properly, weekly twice head bath, drying it properly, combing it, nicely tying it. All these things started happening on its own. Never made an effort for it. To an extent where my hair growth became longer than my wife's hair.
Yeah. Yes. Awesome.
Then this aspect of applying kumkum instead of vibhuti.
Right.
For a brief period of time, I was always applying kumkum on my head. I don't know why. Circle kumkum, like a bindi. I always used to apply it continuously. So these aspects, how it entered, but that's when I felt that I have actually merged with her. It's just happening and I am going with the flow. So this is in whatever best way I could explain my experience with Devi.
So, and I want to ask something, like, you know, in today's world where we hear a lot of toxic masculinity, where men are very far away from their feminine side, how can as men, you know, men, a lot of men are scared, you know, like you get, if I do this, if I do that, will I be called a girl? You know, ladki hai kya? These are some of the questions they may get. So they put up this face, even though they are very, they have that feminine aspect within them. They want to draw, they want to dance, they want to grow hair or whatever they want to do. There are a lot of feminine aspects within each man, like you said. But they're not able to show it out just because they're scared what society will think. How do you think, you know, as men, we can develop that, or will connecting with Devi? Or how does one who is not even associated with any Sadhguru or Isha, can they also connect with Devi? How can they do that for themselves or with any other deity in our culture?
So, Anna, I'll answer this in two parts. The first part is how men can explore, you know, the side of femininity which is there. First of all, yes, like you rightly pointed out, we are in a society where for every person, what society feels matters more than what he or she feels. My simple question is, if you cannot respect yourself for what you do, how can you respect anybody else? So these feelings, Anna, these are not something that grows over a period of time. These are always there. Aspects of femininity is always there. The feminine is always there. Without that, the male cannot be present. Your mother brings you to this world. You're given birth by a woman. So, she is supposed to be considered to be the highest. She is the one who forms the world. And yet we disrespect women. You go to certain sects of the country, every day evening after coming back from work, drinking and hitting the women is by far considered to be the regular activity of that house. I don't want to point out any particular caste or culture here, but unfortunately, after a female is married into a different house, even the mother in that house supports the son when he hits the daughter-in-law. But she fails to forget that she was also a daughter-in-law before. How can you support it? So there are these lot of taboos in the society. So if someone really wants to go beyond, and today is 21st century, Anna. If this was in 80s and 80s or 70s, still people having fear is okay. Today is 21st century. You heard of this guy called Sushant Divekar? Divekar?
No. Cool. Man, who is he?
Anna, search him up on YouTube. And people should listen to his/her interview. Okay, when people say no, more than me telling out how to present yourself in society, how to tell people that you have this feminine aspect, little bit wearing red clothes, colorful clothes, people will judge you.
Yeah.
Watch his interview, Sushant Divekar. I'll give you his YouTube link. You need to put that link in your description for this.
Yes. I'll definitely do.
Why I'm telling it? Because he has made it big. A guy realizing the aspect that he has a feminine in him, nurturing that feminine aspect, being a guy, getting the parents' support. Today, his stage name is Rani Kohenoor.
Okay.
I think that is the best example I can give for anybody in 21st century. If they feel that there is a fear, I will be judged. Please watch him/her, because I always respect the feminine in him. How beautifully he carries himself. You'll have tears listening to his story. If you are a human, you will have tears listening to a story. But he has made it big in today's world. Most recognized person across the globe. So somewhere, Anna, that belief in you has to come. Because if you don't trust yourself, then it is very difficult to... If you don't believe what you want to do, and if you are not convinced about it, you cannot convince anybody else. On your deathbed, are you going to be happy thinking that it's okay, I'm dying, but at least I did these things?
Right.
Or are you going to be happy questioning yourself that I'm onto my deathbed, still I didn't do this? Okay. I could have. It's a choice. It's a personal choice. Okay, few people will be angry with you at that point of time, because that is a human nature, no? If you don't listen to someone, they will be angry with you. the same thing can be reverse also, no? Because people are not listening to you, you can also be angry with them, no? But you still end up doing what you want to do. And there is always a way to explain things to people. And if people see that you believe what you are doing and you have a belief in them, it automatically becomes their belief system.
True.
I know the struggle I have gone through for 2.5 years convincing my parents that I quit my job.
Right.
It was for almost close to 1.5 years. Every month when I visited them, there has been a question. Okay, when is your sabbatical ending? When are you joining the job? And every time when the time period increased, the question was like, it's been 6 months, still haven't you decided to join the job? What are you doing? But then the 7th, 8th, 9th month onwards, they started seeing what I do, how I conduct my life every day. And slowly it became a part of their belief system because they strongly felt that this is something I have decided and nobody is going to, you know, make a difference for me to be, change my mind to do this. Because I was ready to let go of everything if nobody agreed also. Because somewhere I felt that it's not about me. I've seen a lot of suffering around me of people. Somewhere it kind of resonated inside my head that this is the time when you can at least do something for people. Need not be directly. Indirectly also you can help. As we speak this, I'll give you an example now that why I'm trying to say this. So you saw the Rudraksha Diksha behind the scenes video.
Yes, yes.
You've seen a couple of boys who carry the Rudraksha boxes and take
it. Yes, yes.
So, when I started involving myself in this process, in the mandapam where we do the packing, these all boys come from nearby villages, okay? When I say nearby villages, means there is not too much of literacy around. And when there is no literacy around, there is nobody to guide you in terms of what you need to do. Every house in a village is not having that much of affordability where they can make both the kids study. Either the young one studies or the elder one studies. Most of the time it is the younger one who studies. The elder one always leaves the school or college in between and they roam around and do some other work, labor work, where they get money every day. Loiter around with friends. And drinking also starts. Alcoholism starts at a very early age here. Reason being, you are surrounded by Tasmak every 1 kilometer. Government owned wine shops are there. You can't shut it down immediately because there is a percentage of revenue also comes which you require to run the state. These are different debates, forget it. But the point I'm trying to make is the child is exposed to all this right from the childhood. He sees his dad, what he does every day. Coming back from a labor job every day, the body is so tired, you will not get sleep. The only way you can sleep is take a quarter of a whiskey or rum, something, drink and go off to sleep. Next day morning, again, go lift weight, lift logs, do all the daily worker labor jobs, earn money, night you drink, again sleep. This is what the son sees throughout the day for years together. So the entire surrounding of the house is built on this. So these children who come to the mandapam for the packing work, these people before coming here, this was their job. Loiter around with friends, weekend, little bit of drinks, enjoy. Either one is thrown out of a college or one is a dropout, decided not to go again. Someone decided that, okay, enough of studies, let me earn some money. Because the father is so drunk and now he cannot go to job, so the son has to support. All this is the kind of scenario in which people live in local villages here. And it hurts. when you see this in front of your eyes. Today, Anna, after 1 year, I should not be saying this, but I'm saying I'm proud to say that all those kids are matured enough in such a way that when you look at them, you will feel like falling to their feet. They have gracefully matured because of this one process. And what is this process? Only packing work of Rudraksha. Now, this is where I tell, you know, how grace touches. Where are those Rudrakshas coming from? Sadhguru has blessed them during Shivratri. So, obviously, when you come in, connect with it, the grace also connects to you. The first people to touch those Rudrakshas during packing are these people after Sadhguru, you know, after Sadhguru blesses it. So, it makes a difference. Now, telling people, what is the importance of Rudraksha Diksha? It is not just a bead. How it can transform a human life, you have absolutely no idea. Anna, these four kids this year did fasting. They put mala, they on their own went to Sabrimala and came before Shivratri. And these are the kids I am telling who used to loiter around weekends, they used to drink. This is the transformation, Anna, of the process. The idea of behind the scenes was this. To shoot behind the scenes of Rudraksha Diksha was not only to tell how much enormous is the process, but to tell how it is touching each human who is involved in that process. Now, these kids are not volunteers. You ask the question, no, people who don't have a guru,
right,
who don't know Devi, who don't know Isha, how can they transform? This is the way. When it's time for you, things will appear in front of you. Only you need to be receptive to it.
Remember what you said was true. Like while I was watching the Rudraksha Diksha video, I noticed the women, they were packing, you know. I think they are also from the nearby villages.
Yes.
More than
yes.
The Rudraksha process, I was observing the ladies and, you know, what they were doing. They're packing it with so much devotion, the vibhuti into each packet, tying the threads, keeping a Adiyogi picture, you know, then a pamphlet. And 2 million, you have to pack it in so much order. It's not an easy job. Just
2 million, you know, 2 million is only packets, Anna. Into packets, two, yeah, is the number of Rudrakshas.
Yes. Into two.
Every day coming there at that point of time, 9:30, they come. You sit there till 5:30. You have your lunch also there. Anna, 90%, 95% of the ladies who are working there, because of Rudraksha Diksha, first time in their life, they got an opportunity to take salary.
Right.
They are all housewives. They have never seen something called as salary earned by a woman in a house. They are from that background. Just imagine if people doing that process are so touched. A normal small person like me just observes them for 2 years. What kind of impact it will make? You don't have to do anything. Just go and sit there and watch them. That's all. Now that is devotion. Again, coming to that question in the beginning, slavery versus surrender. These are all small examples. These are not small examples. These are enormous examples, Anna. Now these ladies, they don't even know to whom that packet is reaching. Nobody from the ashram is going to come and tell them that thank you so much, you have done a wonderful job. Yet they are doing it. No leaves, Anna, throughout the year. You tell them tomorrow holiday, they'll say, why? We want to come.
Okay.
Why are you leaving a holiday? Because they have got bonded to that process so much today that it's become a part of their life. They look forward to it every year now. And they were touched so much that after this process, no, next few months there will be nothing because next year comes after Shivratri, no?
Right.
That gap also, they will keep telling that, involve us in some work in Isha, we will do something for Isha. Let us do. We don't want to simply sit at home. And when people come to you like this, you have to look what you can do. You have to create something for them.
I remember this beautiful article where one Swami actually started this stall and this transportation from the, you know, Sarpavasal to the Adiyogi. There was
yes.
a group of women formed.
Yes.
And
yes.
the touching part was finally they wanted to give Sadhguru a shawl and how that was something
yes.
that still
yes.
I remember.
Yes, yes. The girls riding the battery vehicle.
Yes.
And all these things, you know, till the time you listen, they are stories.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see it in front of your eyes, when you talk to them, these are not stories. These are examples. And exactly, I'm telling you, this podcast, okay, but so many podcasts you have done before, all these things that people bring to the table through you, which reaches so many people, it is a way, you know, without thinking what you get in return, everybody is doing it. You're doing it so beautifully. And this is your guru's work only, you carry it to people, no?
Yes.
This is guru's work. This is, what will you call it if not grace? Without his grace, this is not possible.
Yeah, it is not possible, yes. Not at all possible.
So your podcast itself is the answer. What is surrender and what is slavery? We don't have to separately answer that question
right,
at all.
Right.
What you are doing is surrender. What you are doing is devotion. And here I bow down to you on this video, but when I meet you, I'll really bow down to you, Anna, because I've seen your first video and I've seen it today where it is, what kind of work you're doing, how much you're doing for people. Because people who have come to YouTube, they are also about how many likes I get. For this video, you give me so many likes, so next video I'll bring even more dhamakedar, masaledar. This is the kind of content YouTubers do, no? You have see, nothing about them doing it. They have their own agenda. They do it. They earn money through YouTube also. But doing it like this religiously with devotion, where, you know, you want to reach out to people to show what happens with different people in different parts of the world. It is not only that you cover Indians, you cover people from other countries also, other backgrounds also. Like one Anna you interviewed who is from a military background.
Yes, yes, yes.
And now he is selling those capsules.
Yes.
Neem turmeric.
Yes.
Pepper.
Yes.
So Anna, these things are available in the society. People need to know. You did a video with one of the Hatha Yoga teachers who became a full-time volunteer now.
Yeah.
That Anna also beautifully describes that the guru is the path and path is the guru.
Yes.
So these things, why we do this is nothing we cannot see. The knowledge or the experience which you have, which you cannot share with anyone, it's of no use. You go through that experience not for yourself, but to bring the belief in others that this is possible. Just be patient. Allow it to come in. Be patient, just allow it to flow. Don't expect. Because the time of expectation is when it will happen to you and you will not realize it. Sadhguru beautifully says, no. all these step-by-step processes he has built up to Samyama. But if something should have happened to you, it would have happened during the initiation of Shambhavi itself.
Yes.
That day itself is enough to shake you. So many people I have met. Done only Shambhavi, BSP, that's all. Guru Puja. But when you sit with them and talk to them, you will realize what are they made up of.
So, Anna, before we end the podcast, which movie are you going to watch? Have you watched Transformers? Or that's not something you watch?
No, I am not. I have not watched Transformers. I am eager to watch it, but the movie I am looking forward to really is releasing somewhere around 9th of July. It's Mission Impossible 7.
Oh, right. I just saw the trailer today. Yeah, it's
beautiful. Yeah, movie. That's something I'm looking forward to.
I think that is also coming in two parts because it's written part one in the movie.
Yes. So wherever they are ending the series, all the parts that is coming in two.
Yeah. I think they are inspired by the Avengers, I think. I think that's the first movie which came like that. Or was it Bahubali before that?
Endgame came in two parts.
Or was it Bahubali before that?
Did we? Bahubali is one and two anyways. There were no series of movies that came in two parts. Yeah. I think the first part was only made to ask the question, who killed Bahubali?
Yeah. No, why did Kattappa kill Bahubali?
Sorry. Why did Kattappa kill Bahubali? Yes.
So beautiful, Anna. So hopefully it's a big desire within me that the third episode of this should be in person. It's been a while since I took an in-person podcast, so it would really, I hope that we can make that happen. And
we can coordinate. We can coordinate. I can also come down to Kerala.
Yes, Anna, definitely. We can do that. We can.
Okay, Anna.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking your time out and coming. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anna.
Thank you. Okay, guys. So, did you guys enjoy the podcast? So, as you noticed, this podcast was full about Devi, devotion, Sadhguru, and it's much more subtler aspects we have covered in this podcast. So if you really want to help me out in making this podcast reach out to a lot more people, do leave in the comment section your own experiences with Devi and Sadhguru, because you know people read the comments, and when they see, you know, a lot more people have had similar experience or other kinds of experience, or whatever is your genuine experience. I don't say that you need to put out fake experiences, but whatever is genuine to you, or if you're not been able to connect with Devi or Sadhguru like Narayanana has done, please put it in the comment section. And it's very beautiful to go through the comments of other seekers and what all they are going through. And of course, if you watch till the end of the video and would like to support me and the other guests who are coming, do subscribe to the channel, do like the video and share it if possible. Your subscribing helps it in so many ways, because then I'll be able to invite other guests and a lot more other people. So please do support me. Thank you. Namaskaram.